Let's read this through together. This is the 127th Psalm. Just before we do, this Lent, which will start next month, we're going to work through the Psalms of Ascent. The Psalms of Ascent are a group of 15 Psalms, which the pilgrims, there's various theories about how they were used. They're almost certainly used by the pilgrims as they approached Jerusalem for the three big festivals of the year. More of that later. There was 15 steps between the court of the Gentiles, and so it may well be that the priests used these as they ascended these 15 steps. I mean, it's possible that they were penned after Nehemiah and the walls had been rebuilt at Jerusalem. They're a group of psalms that have a rich, rich history. It's tempting to think that, well, all the psalms are the same, but they're broken into groups. And this is one of them. And there's all sorts of lines from the psalms. Andrew Dunsire has been asking for scripture verses that he can put on posters because he's retiring on the 9th of April. So his source of free poster printing material is coming to an end. And a lot of the phrases that I have in my head are from the Psalms, and some of these are from the Psalms of Ascent. As you will know when we completed, well, you may know, in 2011, the ladies who were behind the project wanted there to be a plaque. And so if you look at the entrance as you're heading out in the vestibule, you'll see a plaque that has the first verse of this psalm written on it, which whenever I think about building or I think about the sort of bricks and mortar stuff of life, I think about this psalm. But could you help me read it? Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. Let's just work our way through this psalm. At the end of our life, what is it that we will have done? Rhetorical question. I mean, you might have a list. Some people do. Some very organized people have their bucket list of things that they intend to do before they die. And it tends to involve things like visiting certain places or climbing this mountain or scuba diving this reef. But the fact of the matter is that for the majority of us, much of our life will be put into the everyday of family and community, of putting bread on the table, of caring for those around about us. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen guard it in vain, which I think speaks of our anxiety. So the first verse speaks of what we do. The second thing speaks of what we fear. Now I want you to think through the last week and how much of your life has been taken up with what you do and what you fear. A little bit, or as we say in our house, a lottle bit, a lottle bit. What we do and what we fear. God values our everyday. He gave it to us. Who created the mundane? Who invented families? Who thought it was a good idea we live in streets and towns and till the soil? Who thought marriage was a good idea? They're all a gift from God. Who gave us the blessing to be single and the freedom that that gives us to care for those around about us and to organize our diary? Who gives us the energy to change a nappy at 3:30 in the morning? You see, we could think of our lives as being filled with the presence of God when we're singing songs or praying prayers or praying for the healing of the sick, or if you've passed that module, for the raising of the dead. But the truth is that most of us will minister most of the time completing to-do lists, picking up the kids, dropping them off. Those in-between interactions of our everyday, which if they're filled with Jesus, transform the lives not just of us, but of those around about us. I was visiting a minister today, this week, on Thursday, at the Secret Garden. Helen Tate likes the Secret Garden. She told Diane, so I went there. It's a kind of hipster paradise. You can tell it's a hipster paradise because as I was sat at a table of nondescript paintwork, I looked across and there was a Welsh dresser that looked like it had been thrown down a flight of stairs and had been painted with the leftover children's paint and then mauled by a teenager, and they wanted 600 quid for it. I thought I'd maybe give you 50 for it so I could put it in my potting shed. It just had that look about it. It was a hipster cafe. And there was a kind of very hipster guy who was serving us our coffee. And my coffee came in an enamel mug. I felt like I was back at scout camp. Actually, my suit came in an enamel mug too. Anyway. So I'm chatting with this minister and we're heading out. And the guy behind the counter says, guys, I don't think I'm going to sell all these scones in the next half hour. And these scones were the size of a baby's head, okay? He says, would you like some? We've both got children. What's to say no? So he's putting these scones in the bag. I said, thank you very much. I said, we're a couple of ministers. Is there anything we could pray for you? And he said, well, I've got a cold. So I shook his hand and I said, Lord, would you pour your healing grace upon my friend here? I know why you're laughing. I know why you're laughing. You're all a bunch of fatalistic Scots, aren't you? Oh, you prayed for healing and you got his cold. Number one, I already had a tickly throat. Number two, I still trust that he got healed. And the next day he went, good grief, my cold's gone. Wonder why. And then a wee angel just gives a poke in the shoulder. Absolutely. It's in the ordinary everyday that we get to minister. Unless the Lord builds the house. Unless the Lord builds the house. Jesus, of course, famously speaks of your life being like a house built. The wise and foolish builders, we've looked at it very recently. And the wise builder builds his house on a solid rock foundation, which God says is his word. And the foolish builder ducks having to work with a rock foundation and just builds it on sand, which means he's got more budget for a flashier house until the floods come. Would that we as a church family, trusted God to build our life. People will often say, I've had this a couple of times, you got a lot of kids, haven't you? And I say, yeah, by modern standards, we have a lot of kids. There's a sort of middle order kind of family if you go back a wee while, but. And say, how many kids you got? Someone said that to me recently, six. I said, I've got six sons, but I've got two daughters as well. And then comes the question, it usually goes one of a couple of ways. Well, how come? At which point, I usually don't go through section 6 of biology from Dalkeith High. And I'll say something along the lines of, well, we just kept praying. And so they kept coming. And then you can see their faith go, really? And I'll usually say, look, I'm sure if the first two were utter nut jobs, we'd have maybe topped out there, you know? Because we don't have a dress rehearsal for this life, do we? We passed this way once. So what is there in 2020 that could have the Lord's fingerprints all over it, but we're maybe holding back on him at the moment? And for some of you, it might be your golf handicap. That might be all that's left. But for others of you, it might be your workplace. It might be your relationship with someone in your family. It might be your neighbors. It might be your relationship with yourself. I'm sure for many people in this room, your harshest critic shares your voice. Whatever it is, let the Lord build the house. Let him build it. Let him build it. Don't try and build it for him. Build it with him. Now, what you fear. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen guard it in vain. Without Jesus, you have the ability to stop just a little bit above zero of the enemy's plans. And every time we turn on our televisions, we're starkly reminded of that, aren't we? But with Jesus, we could derail them all. Jesus' best friend, John, who had seen all of his friends killed, every single one of them, probably in prison on Patmos, wrote this to his churches. He said, the reason the Son of God came into the world, 1 John 3, verse 8, was to destroy the works of the evil one, to undo the abuse, to unstitch the greed, to undermine the cold-heartedness, to puncture the pride, to derail the me first. Some of the things we fear are going to happen to us. Many of the things we fear won't. But with Jesus in our lives, we face none of them alone. Do you hear me? I like to think that somewhere in the kingdom of heaven, there is a list of all the things that have not happened to me because of the grace of Jesus. Yeah? It's a big list. The bus that missed me when I had my headphones on, I didn't even know. Those cells that were dividing in a wonky way and I never got a tumor. That evil that someone had prepared for me and God headed it off at the pass. That stupid thing I was about to do and my conscience got through to me just at the last minute. Or that thing he got me to work on the year before so that when the temptation came the year after I was ready. I'm sure there's a list. And I'm going to tell you this for free. See, in this life, I kind of like to see that list. But I know that when I'm risen in a new body, I won't give two hoots. You with me? You with me? Down here, those fears assume a size that does not belong to them, even though I don't want to belittle the suffering that we go through. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen guard it in vain. Some of us here struggle with insomnia. Now, for some of us, that's because we're drinking Diet Coke and drinking coffee up to bedtime. Not wise. For some of us, it might be that we're pinned to our screens and we haven't got a blue light reducing app. And our poor wee body thinks it's 6:30 in a summer's morning. And while we're trying to get our body to go to sleep, our brain's actually going, ping. But some of us struggle to sleep because of what we're doing and what we're fearing. Here's a verse for those of you with insomnia. In vain you rise early and stay up late. The old Hebrew says, eating the bread of anxious toil. Have you been there? But the Lord restores to new life, health and rest for those he loves. He grants sleep to those he loves. Sleep is a gift. What was the pinnacle of creation? Sleep, rest, the Sabbath. We live in the age of Sabbath. When the kingdom of God arrives, it's Sabbath. We don't labor to rest. We rest and then we labor in response to his grace. The Hebrew day starts at sundown, not sunup. And then what happens? Then he talks about children. Now, of course, if you get plenty of sleep and you're married and you're of childbearing age, you're going to have more kids. I'll leave you to figure that one out all by yourself. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Yeah? Offspring, a reward from him. Anyone here got problems with their kids? Give thanks for them as often as you pray in concern. It's good to pray in concern. Just give thanks for them. Give thanks for them. Give thanks for them. Give thanks for them. Anything that works right in our kids is a miracle anyway. Give thanks for them. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children born in one's youth. Yeah? Blessed is the man who's got a quiver full. My wife likes this psalm. They'll not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. Yeah? And maybe we're getting to the nub of this psalm. Maybe this psalm was written when some legal threat was coming someone's way. That'll keep you up at night, won't it? Unless you have ability to trust in God's goodness. Unless the Lord builds the house, children are a heritage. I loved what Colin said. My favorite bit of the build. Yeah? It's storage, not just for our cupboards, but for our young people. Yeah? It's easy for us to forget how few teenagers there were here when Ross started. As an investment, it looked like an awful lot of money per teenager. But we sort of knew what we were doing. We were building the house. Yes? And the Lord had given us leading. Yep. And we had some money left over from the previous year, which is a rare event in this church. So off we went. And now it just looks like the smartest thing we ever did, doesn't it? I mean, it looks so smart, we can sort of sell it as a package deal to other churches. And they're just shaking their heads, going, because they sort of imagine, you must have had a dozen teenagers. I think we had 5 on a good Sunday, and that was really rare. It was often 2. Many of those had a similar surname to me. As Ross said in the early years, keep having children, they're my job security. What can I say? We delivered. So, children are a blessing. They're a blessing. Now, isn't it beautiful and serenely quiet here at the moment? It's not like that at the start. And I would love to know what's going on in Louis's mind. But that's how he worships God. You know, some of us do it with guitar or whatever. He's just glad to be here. Okay. And there's Michelle. Right on cue. We're a family. The Lord's built this house. They're here because he knows we're mature enough not to be bothered. Yeah? Because we know we'll get to this bit where we can be all adult and quiet. And some of our number will go through where it's noisy and not. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Just want to say a word for some of you, because some of you have got children and they're not walking with Jesus at the moment. They maybe never have. Every child is a gift from God. Every one of them. And you don't need me to tell you how much God loves a prodigal. And some of our children go some scary places and keep us up at night. And almost as concerning, some of them seem to get by without reference to God, and it doesn't seem to bother them. And that can be heartache too. Did Jesus ever give up on us? Has he given up on them? Don't give up on them. And when you don't know what to pray, just give thanks for them. Because for some of us, he had to take us some pretty dark places before we'd listen to his voice. Am I right? And in our parental wisdom, we might stop God from doing what's necessary to bring them to his side. So just keep giving thanks and love them well as best you can. Amen. Amen. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor. Yeah. These halls are going to be fab. I really pray so. They're going to be fab. But they're going to get used and abused like a pit pony, because that's what we do. And so we're going to try and build them as strong as we can. It's not going to be gold taps and bells and whistles, though. It's going to look lovely. They're going to have things, I suppose, from shoulder height down to floor height that you could run gurneys, in hospital into, without much damage. We're going to try and make them as durable as we can. But the house that God's built here is people. And we still have some spare seats. And who's he bringing this year? And friends, that's priority number one. And there's some of you who are going to get to hand over into his keeping this year. That's priority number one. And there's a community here to flood with the love of Jesus. That's priority number one. And if we need bigger buildings to do it, well, that's a priority number two. And important as it is, we'll get on with it. May he build it. Amen? Shall we pray?